Jamie and Locker with you here on a Monday afternoon on the Green Zone as I'm back to work. The Riders back to practice, getting ready for the Calgary Stampeders on Friday. So that means Britton Gray is in the house with a Daily Blitz.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
As we get the goods on all things green and white, let's start with the quarterback, Trevor Harris. Today, did not play against the BC Lions, though it sounds like he was pretty close to be clearing concussion protocol.
Yeah, he felt fine. He said he had a little bit of a screaming match with the doctors, but ultimately they said, you're not quite there. You have to do this. You haven't completed all the steps. And they take the concussion protocol very seriously. You have to complete it to be cleared to go. I don't know if it was just one step or two steps or how close he was. He said he felt fine, but ultimately, and he says the doctors have the best interest. You only have one brain. He said he has four kids. You want to, 55, 65, enjoy that time. He gets it, but you know these guys, they're competitors. They want to be out there all the time, which is why he stayed out there, actually, because he said he felt symptoms during the game. And he said it's not the fault of the coaches, not the fault of the doctors. He didn't report it because he was dealing with that virus, was feeling a little fuzzy. He wasn't sure what was what. But, yeah, he felt those symptoms, and he finished the game, even though he doesn't condone what he did.
I wonder how often.
Well, Zach Collaros, I said Zach Collaros has done it.
No. I mean, players are fighting. That's a tough gig, the medical gig.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you got to sit a guy down and go, you're not playing on Saturday. Right? Like, that has to be a tough gig.
Well, especially for concussions, because if a guy's leg's not quite there, doesn't have mobility, that's a little bit easier conversation because the athletes can at least feel like something's still not quite right there. A concussion, as you said, he felt fine. It was just one or two steps away. He couldn't complete it, and that's why it's so hard, because he would be feeling fine.
Well, and you referenced the Zach story, right? And that set him back how many? Probably.
It took him out 6-7 games because he had one in preseason and then one right again in the second week of the season. And the second one was not a big shot. Like, he more got him in the chest, and it was just his head snapping back that he went, whoa, because he didn't go through the proper protocol because he didn't report. And these things are, and I know who's going to take the heat. A lot of the, well, what's the concussion protocol guy for that's paid to? There's no visible sign when Harris got hurt, really, that he was suffering from a concussion. Like, there wasn't a moment where you saw him.
There was one moment. It kind of stood out to me where I wouldn't say it was obvious he got his bell rung, though. Like, I thought so. When he was down and he had his hands beside his head, I was like, oh, he got his bell rung.
See, I saw that too, and I thought it was more just a grimace of pain because he took the late hit, he took the shot.
It was where he was, too. Like, he was trying to get up, and he kind of, there was like a brief moment where he stopped.
When A.J. Ouellette got taken out, he got up and he stumbled. Like, he couldn't stand up right away. That was obvious. Roland Milligan, he was on the ground and the trainers came out. That's obvious. The Trevor Harris one, we can look back with hindsight saying, oh, yeah, like, these were the symptoms. But at the time, it just looked like he got hit pretty good, but he got up and I think he threw a touchdown pass, or they scored right after that.
Yep. So he also brought up this today.
I knew something was going on during the game, during the game, when the other defense tells you they're about to do something and they do it, maybe you should believe them that they did it on purpose. And it was an unfortunate situation, that their linebacker got hurt, and I know their guys were, wanting to do something about it, and just unfortunate that, I was like, man, I don't know. Just hopefully nothing happens. Let's just play good physical football, and then that happens. But, it happened during the game. I felt it. I knew I was a little bit dazed.
So he didn't. Later on, he did say he's not accusing them of hitting him high on purpose to injure them, but he felt it was not clean, Britton.
No, it was a late hit. It happens all the time. One guy gets hit dirty. Another player, at some point, it happens in sports. They take liberties. I don't think the player meant to injure him. Did he mean to give him a little bit of an extra pop when he knows he shouldn't have? Yeah, probably. He probably knew, probably could have held up and decided to go through with it instead because of what had happened the play before.
Well, you're seeing red and you see the quarterback and you're like, I'm going to give him a hit. I'm going to hit him. I might be a little late and boom.
Which now, happens all the time in every sport.
Absolutely, yeah. It does. You don't. It happens in hockey.
They take all a number. They take a number all the time.
So, should it have been more than just a game or a fine then for Jordan Williams? If there was any hint that that might have been intentional,
I think if you can prove it was intentional, if the league has stuff saying I'm going to injure him, I'm going to take him out of the game, that's a little bit different. I don't know what. What was said, what the league was able to hear, if they how much of an investigation they even did, right? Because
I want to know who was mic'd up in that game.
Yeah. Well, Trevor Harris would have had a microphone on. The quarterbacks usually do. But I don't know. Like I said, I think with what you knew at the time, it was enough. But
Do they actually go back? That's an interesting question. Do they go back to tape?
And Garrett Marino.
Garrett Marino with the racial... There was a racial suggestion that Nate Behar said after the game. He was saying racist bleep, and the couple players were mic'd up. They do the mic'd up show we're used to on TSN.
They
went back and found what he was saying to Jeremiah Masoli.
Yeah.
And went, okay, added, I think it was another game or something on his four-game suspension. One of them was for the words. And everybody's like, oh, they just do that. I'm like, nope, they had evidence from the mics that were on the players, what was being said to Jeremiah Masoli from Garrett Marino.
It was no wonder players don't want to volunteer to get mic'd up.
Garrett Marino was saying things. It wasn't like he was dropping the N-bomb or anything like that, but he was questioning Jeremiah Masoli's heritage.
From his
Samoan background more than anything.
Now, after that game, as you mentioned, Nate Behar mentioned that was happening, so the league probably realized, hey, let's go back and listen to it. After this, until today, we had no idea that the Toronto Argonauts were saying anything about it. Tempers were high, don't get me wrong, we could see that, but about what was being said.
Okay, what else was going on today?
Any mics from Saturday's game?
What, between the Lions and the Alouettes?
The brawl in Montreal.
Oh, boy.
But what else did we see today from day one of Rider practice with some notable injuries for the Riders?
Sam Emlis mostly working off to the side. So, I mean, that's quite the Charlie horse, apparently. Foot injury. But he was working off to the side. Sean Bain Jr., he's kind of out there at the beginning. They do the little bit early scout team, but then he goes to the side and just works on getting ready. No idea why he wasn't put on the 6-game injured list. I asked Corey Mace that today. He said he doesn't make those decisions asking the wrong guy, which okay, but he's going to miss 6 games. It appears well on the way to doing that. I'm not sure why he wasn't put on that. Thomas Bertrand Houdon wasn't out there. Now, Trevion Tate has a sling on. He underwent surgery for, it looked like a pec, might be a bicep, waiting for the injury report to come out to clarify exactly what it is. But they're going to be gone. But it's going to be interesting with Bertrand Houdon not playing. I expect Kadeem Carey's going to come on for Trevion Tate. And Zach Fry was getting all the starts at left guard, the snaps at left guard in Tate's place. So you move him on, then Noah Zaire, I imagine, will be the sixth man out there.
So that
you
covers the race.
Bertrand Houdon. It's an easy swap this week when you look at the injuries, one Canadian, one American. Put the American running back on.
Yep.
It's a little bit easier roster management to find a way to get Kadeem Carey on the roster this week.
Is TBH still dealing with the hamstring?
He wasn't out there. He wasn't out there in a jersey or anything.
It's listed as thigh right now for Thomas Bertrand Houdon. Mm-hmm. Shoulder for Trevion Tate. Is on the injury report today. And Tavon Campbell on a groin injury did not participate. So they're going through it right now for the Rough Riders.
Yeah, without Tavon Campbell, they actually put Antoine Brooks Jr. out there because this team, they have a lot of flexibility with that ratio right now with the Canadian offensive lineman. Now they're bringing on another one, the Canadian receivers. They can put an American somewhere. They do have that flexibility. That appears what they will do this week. Though it'll be interesting to see with Emelis and Campbell how they progress this week.
That is Britton Gray's Daily Blitz. Of course, you'll have a lot more at CJME.com, CKOM.com later in the week. We'll save it for later. Don't have time to get into debate right now. We'll talk about how powerful these Calgary Stampeders actually are coming into Mosaic Stadium, and the Obsidian Green jerseys are being worn. Britain's favorite jersey.
Nice. It's a good jersey.
It's a good look.
Just should have gone all black. I'll say it again. Bring back the black jerseys. Just one game.
Sit down, producer.
Standing
Scott.
Applause.
My goodness, you two. They were creative with something different other than just a generic black jersey. Well done to the team with the Rough Riders and their Obsidian Green. And you saw the merchandise sale report. They sold those babies like nothing they've seen in a decade or more.
And I think you could double that if you just bring back the black jersey.
Does goodness. Dollars speak?
Yeah, and the dollars say the fans like the Obsidian. So, well,
when were the black jerseys, the original ones? Like, how many years?
3, 4, somewhere in there is when they started wearing the black jersey.
Okay, okay.
Like when Britain was knee-high to a grasshopper.
And was that the first time, or is...
No, that was the first time.
There was never like a 60s team.
They should bring back the wraparounds logo with the silver pants. We could do one of those looks. How about bring that back?
With the red lettering on it?
No, not the red and black OG jerseys they wore for the 100th anniversary.
I don't want those. I want the red ones with the green that Reggie Hunt, that's who I always picture in that black jersey in.
Yep.
What a time. Bring it back.
No. Obsidian Green. Here to stay. This is 980 CJME Beautiful. And 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Movie review time with Locker.
Oh, no.
Don't do spoilers. When you talk about a movie, can you not spoil it? Because I know this is a very, very, very well thought out storyline, and I don't want you to ruin it for anybody. F1, the movie. Thoughts?
You're not going to that movie for storyline. I'll throw that out
there.
Okay,
so
it was great. I really enjoyed it. It's a fun couple of hours, and I would recommend seeing it at the IMAX. How many movies have you gone to at the IMAX theater?
I don't know.
I mean, because we were going plenty. On Saturday night, and my wife was asking me if I'd ever seen a movie, and I was like, I don't know if I'm being... I can count on one hand how many I think I've seen, and one of them was like a polar bear.
So you would recommend the IMAX experience for F1,
well,
the movie?
From what I read, they filmed it with IMAX cameras, like the whole thing, and I thought it was spectacular. Visually, it was really well done.
So I'm curious about something, and this is to you out there. Have you become more of an F1 follower over the last few years? Because there's been a lot of things going right when it comes to F1. You have some star power with Max Verstappen winning a couple of championships in a row. Red Bull is one of the top well-known brands globally that has a team in F1. So...
Drive to Survive.
Drive to Survive documentary is something I watch all the time. And even I've started following F1 a lot. Like, I haven't followed F1 like this since Jacques Villeneuve was racing. And I woke up on Sunday, turned on the race to watch the British Grand Prix.
Oh, really? See ya.
And
no,
you're not there?
No.
I'm just curious, is F1 getting a little bit more of your attention over the last few years? 1-877-332-8255. And are you like Locker and say yes, go watch F1 the movie?
It was good. It was really good.
IMAX or otherwise. Brett around Kenosi Lake wanted Back in Black. There you go, Brett. I was in Brett's neck of the woods, actually, in Kenosi on the week off. On the way down, made sure to stop in to see the red paperclip in Kipling.
Is it a giant red paperclip?
It's big, but it's not giant. It's not like something you can see from the highway that it's so... And of course, that's the red paperclip guy who was trying to get a house, and he traded and traded and traded, and he got the house in Kipling, Saskatchewan, starting from a red paperclip. But yeah.
Oh, I remember that story.
And I'll tell you what, it was tough. For me, it's tough to pass a nice golf course and not play it. And just by driving by, Kenosi looks like it is in mint condition.
We've had the weather for the golf courses are really benefiting from the rain here in the last couple of weeks.
Of course, it's right there on your right when you're going to the park and you're driving by and like, oh boy, should have brought the clubs down for the day. But next time, Gadget. Next time. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Some feedback on our little talked F1 just a little bit here on the Green Zone. Tony says, I prefer F1 over NASCAR any day. F1 has more strategy. NASCAR's just going round and round, except for this past weekend's race. That was a street race, wasn't it, for NASCAR? Couple of bumping and grinding on that one. 1-877-332-8255.
We talked about this earlier, and I got to say, I might be the exception to the rule because, like, the Ted Lassos and the Welcome to Wrexham, I watch.
Didn't turn you into a soccer aficionado?
No, I still can't stand soccer. And then I've never been a car guy, like a race guy. I've never been into it. So F1, I had no desire after watching F1 on Saturday night to get up Sunday and watch a race. It was a good movie. I'd recommend the movie. It's not going to turn me, but it obviously does work. The drive absolutely to survive turned people into fans of the sport.
Well look at how many races are in the United States, right? Like it boomed. There wasn't really anything. And then Miami and Vegas. So you're seeing even North America catching on. Trevor from Regina, funny you mentioned the increased interest in Formula One because we went to see the movie last weekend. My partner was asking questions about it, how many races in a season, et cetera. Sure enough, this Sunday, we happened to be up, watched the British Grand Prix. I told her Max Verstappen will win. Wrong. Lando Norris won that one. And she said she's going to watch and see if he wins next week. So I guess we're watching Formula One more. But Trevor, I'll let you know, there's 2 weeks off. They don't race next week or the week after. It'll be the Belgian Grand Prix at the end of July when they continue the F1 season. A little bit of controversy in that race with Oscar Piastri in the lead behind the safety car. He broke, I forget how what his speed was, but he broke to try to get a gap between him and the safety car for the restart so he could get up more speed. And Verstappen almost rear-ended him. He got a 10-second penalty. He wasn't very happy about it. That's what allowed his teammate from McLaren, Lando Norris, to win that race. So there was a bit of controversy at the
they dock points too, right? As well,
if it's major, absolutely that you can get dock points. But it wasn't that; it was just a 10-second penalty. But it cost him the win at the British Grand Prix. Meanwhile, Locker, you had the fun. You had NHL free agency all last week. You got to watch your Oilers leave and replace them with Andrew Mangiapane.
Fun to say, by the way.
Congratulations on your team's D grade. Did you do grades for free agency? Because I would have given the Oilers a D because they didn't lose. They got one player in Andrew Mangiapane, but the rest of it, I'm not sure.
What happened during free agency last year? Do you remember?
No, of course I don't remember.
Okay, we were all giving the cup to the Nashville Predators based on what they did during the free agency.
Uh-huh.
Stamkos, like, and all the other moves. What happened in the season?
Went down the toilet.
Exactly. I'm not willing to judge my team based on what they did or didn't do.
Did they upgrade their goaltending?
No. Were there goaltending options?
Did they lose depth up front that everybody was raving about in the playoffs?
Yes.
Did they convince Connor McDavid to stay and sign a long-term extension with what they did over free agency?
Did you expect him to sign this week?
No.
Exactly.
They went to Ontario and had to sell him a plan. And if that's the plan, is to lose your depth up front and go, well, it's going to be on you and Leon from here on out to try to win a cup. I don't know if Stan Bowman did the best job. But it is only July 7th. There's a lot of weeks left until the season.
Well, exactly. And again, you have to be careful with... And I remember when Leaf fans will do this too, right? Like the Leaf fans, I think you were being way too hard on your team when they lost in the... That was it. In my opinion, that was a decent team. They've got the beginning of something. Do you want to run it back and start all over again? No. I think there's a couple of things you've got to do to make a change to a team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals. And the one move I don't like is losing Connor Brown. They lost some salary. They lost some age. They're going to have to find some players to fill the fringe roles, and they'll do that. They've got a couple of guys coming up that might be able to do that. We'll see. I think Oiler fans, myself included, need to get used to the idea that there is a strong possibility that Pickard and Skinner are going to be the duo going into the next season. Skinner's young, too. He's still a young goalie. Like, you were making fun of the Bouchard deal. Yeah, they overpaid Bouchard. They overpaid Nurse. They've got too much money locked up in those two players on defense.
And then there's the threat of the offer sheet.
But I wouldn't have wanted to lose Bouchard.
If they wanted to offer sheet him for $10.5 million or more, you get two first-round picks, a second and a third.
This is not... The Oilers are not a rebuild team. They're not Chicago.
That's not a rebuild. All of a sudden, you get handed two first rounders.
The only
a second
thing
and a third that you can flip somewhere else.
That's the only reason I like it, is that you fill up the cupboards. That's it. And the Oilers are pretty bare when it comes to any assets. They don't have them. They just don't. But they're not there. They're not that team. They're a team that is trying to build something to win a cup.
They're right there. Back to back, they are a team that was built to win a cup. And now you look around and you're going, okay, are they better today? Because the Florida Panthers, they're run it back.
That's a different conversation.
The Edmonton Oilers are okay with 1 year left before McDavid gets his millions and has to convince them. This is an important season. This is huge for the Edmonton Oilers.
Florida wasn't on the verge like the Oilers were on the cap either. Like,
they're a bit over right now.
Florida is a bit, but they're also
a touch over.
They also know that they're going to have Tkachuk sitting out for an entire season. He's going to pull on Evander Kane, and he's going to make a remarkable recovery and end up in the playoffs.
1-877-332-8255.
I should put that on the board.
Ken, you like the Oilers offseason so far? You're jumping up and down saying we got the cup now.
I am very happy. Nobody wins the cup in July, but I'm happy because of a couple things. One of which is, well, let's go a few of them. Matt Savoy, he's 21 years old. He was a top 10 pick. He was the best 20-year-old in the AHL last year, and it's time for him to get to the NHL. Noah Phillips, same type of thing, a defensive player. He's older, but it's his time. You need to be able to fill in those. They're bringing in the 35, 38-year-olds. Get some youth on your side in the bringing them in on those lower lines.
I agree, kid. They were a little too old. I think that was part of the problem with the final round of the playoffs.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to the goalkeeping, anybody who's available is not any better than Skinner. And let me point something out to you. Holland paid $5 million a year for 5 years for Jack Campbell. And that's as big of a pain as anything that happened with Nurse. But if that Campbell thing had worked out, it's only around now that Stu Skinner would be looked on as the heir apparent, as the number one goalie of the Oilers. So he's been really an advanced case to get him in there when he is and learning on the fly. And right at the moment, I do not see a better option that's likely to be available.
Well, Ken, that's the bigger issue, right? Everyone's up in arms about the goaltending situation in Edmonton, and did it cost them the cup, and do they need to make changes, and is Skinner the right guy? And the problem is there's more than one team looking for goaltending replacement, and the number of guys out there is it's really slim, right? So if you go sit down with McDavid and he says, fix our goaltending problem, what are you going to do? You're going to fire Skinner? And no, you're going to maybe reevaluate how these guys are being coached, and maybe you make a coaching change, which is that's the rumor that they're going to. And maybe that was enough to appease McDavid.
I don't think McDavid cares who the goalie coach is. He wants to stay.
Are you sure?
I don't think he's looking at Dustin Schwartz going, we have to get rid of that guy. He wouldn't have a clue if Dustin Schwartz is doing a good job or bad job as goalie coach.
I 100% disagree with you.
You think Connor McDavid has a sniff of how good of goalie coach is?
I think Connor McDavid's been doing this his whole life
Not
and
a
is
chance.
Involved.
Connor McDavid wouldn't have a clue what the goalie coach does or needs to do to prep a goalie.
I think he's
not a chance.
I think he's dialed
in. Wayne Gretzky wouldn't have even known what when he was playing what a goalie coach does or needs to do to get a goalie ready. They would just fire pucks at him and make him stop. Like, that's it. The only way that Connor McDavid would know is if Stuart Skinner and the other goalies told him, I don't think this guy's that good of a job. That would be it.
I think Connor is more in tune with things like that than you might want to give him credit for. That's all he cares about, Jamie. That's all he cares about is winning. So the little details he's going to overthink.
I'm not saying he's
getting the goalie coach
fired. I think you're giving him way too much credit.
But I bet you if they had a discussion with him about if they fly to Ontario and sit down with Connor McDavid and go, okay, what do you want done? What do you need us to do to make you happy? Right? That might come up. Maybe there's a discussion about personnel behind the benches. I'm speculating.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. I miss free agency, and I miss getting Walker riled up about his Edmonton Oilers. That is for sure. Chad, you're with Kevin Weeks on who the next Oilers goaltender should be.
Oh, he is? I never heard it from anybody. I just put two and two together in my head where the guy's from. In a couple of weeks, when the not guilty verdicts are out, Carter Hart's a free agent, and he will be an Oiler.
Well, I'm not going to register a verdict in that case yet because the judge will decide on that one. But it is a question Kevin Weeks brought up. Why wouldn't the Oilers be interested in Carter Hart from, of course, the World Junior team? He's one of the five accused of sexual assault. That case and the judgment's coming down later this month. And
July 25th.
He is, of course, awaiting to hear what the judge says. And then from there, the NHL might still have further discipline in that case. We'll see how they decide on that. And Kevin Weeks brought it up. Carter Hart is from the area. The Oilers gave Stan Bowman a second chance. Will it be a Carter Hart second chance with the Edmonton Oilers? You're the Oiler fan. I'll let you ponder that one if it happens. After reading some of the details of that case.
I don't like any of it. I
would be very interested if anybody wants to dip their toe in that. Especially be the first to do it. Because, that would be an interesting take.
Without getting into anything that happened, I'll tell you this. From a father perspective, if my kid was even in that room, I can't tell you what I would have done to that kid. We can't talk about it. If he was involved in that, even knew about it, oh my God.
Well, some of the testimony was some of those players that
were there.
They were like, I don't want any part of this, and left.
The fact that they didn't do anything, I would have.
But
don't worry about the judge. Worry about the judge. Worry about coming home to me.
The judge might say, not guilty. Then what? Is Carter Hart an Edmonton Oiler? 1-877-332-8255.
Ugh, I don't even want to talk about that.
This took an unexpected turn. Rick, you would say be thumbs up to Carter Hart for the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, Yeah, I probably would. I wouldn't, like, we give lots of guys a break, right? Evander Kane's had a break. Corey Perry's had a break. Heck, even Kevin Lowe had a break way back when. So we're kind of the team that gives guys breaks. So
I think you're talking about Craig McTavish more than Kevin Lowe.
It was Craig.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry about that. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, but yeah, I think if, yeah, why not, you know?
Well, and it's all up to a judge, really, to make that decision. And then the National Hockey League to make that decision. And then the Edmonton Oilers. That's the step. It's going to go judge later this month. And then, of course, if it's guilty, well, then your NHL career is over. Nobody's touching that. Not guilty. Then the NHL will have to decide because leagues have done it. The NFL has suspended players, even though they were not found guilty in the court of law in their own investigation. They looked at the behavior and went, okay, now what grounds would the NHL have when these players were not, well, some of them would have been draft picks, I guess, of the National Hockey League at the time, to go, okay, we're going to discipline you when you may not have been a player in the NHL. It's all an interesting timeline of what's going to play out in a couple of weeks. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Monday afternoon. I didn't even get into Mitch Marner. That guy's dead to me if I'm a Leafs fan. You kidding me? You and your wife were talking to Vegas Golden Knight players about what life is like in Vegas while you're in the middle of being a Toronto Maple Leaf assistant captain? Good riddance to Mitch Marner if I'm a Leaf fan. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.